Stephen Jacobson is in the East, and Stephen is the author, I guess you could say, of an audio tape series. Is that correct, Stephen?
That is correct.
And it's called Mind Control in America?
That is correct.
Okay. Welcome to the program. Thank you for being with me today.
Oh, my pleasure to be with you, Michael.
You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and of course, you know, I've always been fascinated by the mind control topic and done a lot of programming on it. So I was quite interested when I got the email, you know, indicating your work. If you could, real quick, let's frame for the audience the thesis of your work, and then we'll dig into the meat of it.
Yes. Well, the premise is that we live in a virtual reality where very few people realize the extent to which we are manipulated and controlled by unseen forces. In fact, I would say that our society is the most manipulated and controlled society in history because of the programming and conditioning we all undergo through mass media and public education.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily see things as they are. We see things as we are. And most people don't give much thought to why they believe some of the things that they do. Things are accepted as true very often simply as the result of habit. The mind control issue is not a new issue. The art and science of this technology goes back to ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
In Egyptian texts mention the use of hypnosis. So the ancient priesthoods were very much aware of the mind and how it could be manipulated. What is different about the times in which we live is the modern technology that allows the implementation of these principles on a massive scale to influence the thinking and behavior of large numbers of people.
Right. And that's where I think the most virulent forms of this are taking place. Is that correct?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
For sure, because the invasion of privacy of mind is a serious issue. The freedom of mind is the first freedom from which all other freedoms are derived.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't have complete control over their own thinking processes, and if they can be influenced without their conscious awareness, then the implications for us as a free society are quite serious.
You betcha. And that, again, that is probably the foundation point, I guess, if you will, of what may be going on in our country. And you know, you heard me, you heard some of the lead into you today. You know, we've been doing a lot on the illegal immigration issue, and I was on an overnight show last night with another talk show host, and the one thing that I'm really amazed at is how many callers call in and say, I never knew that any of this was going on, despite the fact that this problem is well underway. It's reached, I think, a critical mass. And, you know, I owe that to the success of the mainstream media and how it is manipulating public opinion, and it's manipulating the issues in such a way that significant pieces of information are omitted from that reportage that would influence, or it would, you know, in other words, it would paint the picture more accurately, but it's removed from the reportage. And as a result of that, Americans don't have a clue as to what's really going on in their government or in their society.
Oh, absolutely. In spite of our times being called the information age,
yeah,
where we have a glut of information, there are still big gaps and holes. Our judgment is only as good as the information that we have. And
correct.
If we don't have everything that we need to know, then our judgments and our decisions are going to reflect that. There are two primary means by which people are manipulated and controlled. One is very fundamental, very simple. It's the control of information that people have access to.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically the first issue of mind control. It is by manipulating what people have access to. The second primary means by which people are manipulated is by manipulating their mental states. And this will affect how people process their information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the case of manipulating information, a major issue is the consolidation of ownership in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Consolidation of ownership where you have fewer and fewer multinational corporations that are controlling the information that people have access to. Not only the information, but entertainment.
Right.
And entertainment is also an extremely important feature in the mind control issue, because entertainment is not harmless. Entertainment, in fact, the arts, are a delivery system for propaganda.
Mm-hmm, precisely.
And they influence people without their conscious awareness, which makes it extremely insidious, because people, especially young people, look to the media, and popular culture carries messages about how society works and how people should behave.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take their cues from what they're watching on television, from what they're seeing in motion picture theaters, and from the music that they hear on their on the radio and on the CDs that they're purchasing. Entertainment is extremely important in creating a mindset, particularly among young people. Capture the mind of the youth, and then the nation falls into the hands of the mind manipulators.
Mm-hmm. Is this what we see today going on? With when you talk about entertainment, is some of the groundbreaking films that come out that demonstrate what Hollywood's conception of reality is. Is this the case, really, of the tail wagging the dog? Okay, go ahead, Stephen.
Yes, elitists do receive training. There are the various think tanks in this country. There's the Tavistock Institute in England, which is the premier think tank for development of and the dissemination of this mind control technology.
Mm-hmm.
So politician worth his salt is aware of this technology. Any of your corporate leaders are aware of it, and they use it. It's based on how to influence people, and they're all interested in doing that to attain their ends.
Yeah, and you kind of partly answered the question that we went into the break with about, is this a case of the tail wagging the dog? And if so, you know, when it pertains to Hollywood cranking out these futuristic social type movies, the question is, if that is so, where are they getting their marching orders from? And of course, you bring up the name Tavistock, which is a very interesting think tank and social engineering group out of the UK.
Yes, there's long been this Washington, New York, Hollywood axis. The war is too important to be left just to the military.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that they recognized, even during the war, during World War I, the importance of the photograph and a film in disseminating information and changing people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And just some of the people who have been involved in the past in the media, some of these names, some going way back from politics. In 1940, the Republican presidential candidate Wendell Willkie was chairman of the board of 20th Century Fox Film Corporation.
Right.
This was back in 1942.
Mm-hmm.
Then William P. Rogers, who was Secretary of State during Nixon's administration, he was also a member of the board of 20th Century Fox. Former President Gerald Ford and Henry Kissinger both have been on the board of directors of 20th Century Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Not just singling out that particular film corporation, but former Vice President Walter Mondale was a member of the board of directors of Columbia Pictures.
Right.
Alexander Haig was on the board of directors of MGM. So there is this relationship because of the importance that the media has in creating a mindset. The principles of programming are really pretty simple and basic. I'll use television as a prime example of how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Television, if you think of it, when you've noticed young children or older adults sitting in front of a TV, they have this glassy-eyed, vacant look in their eyes.
Right.
And that is because they are in a hypnotic trance. Television.
I've seen adults like that, too, by the way.
Pardon?
I've seen adults like that, by the way, too.
Oh, yes.
They just
sit
there with their mouth hanging open, and they're just, like, mesmerized.
Because there is a electronic connection. It literally plugs into our nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
The television picture, although it appears to be stationary, it's actually flickering.
Right, we don't the scan
see
rate.
It consciously.
Yeah.
But this subconsciously, what it is doing is inducing a trance state. Then there are different techniques that are used to deepen the trance state. For example, in commercials, very often they'll use flashing words or flashing numbers, prices flashing on and off. That these repetitive patterns, visual patterns, and even repetitive audio patterns are meant to get the viewer to fixate one of the senses, the sense of sight on the visual pattern or the sense of hearing on the audio pattern, in order to create the state of mind, the hypnotic state of mind, which is the first order of business for any propagandist or any advertiser, is to create the circumstances that will induce a state of mind in their target audience,
mm-hmm.
that will make them receptive to their message, favorably receptive to their message. So
right.
that's the hypnotic state of mind. That's the first order of business. Television does it automatically. So it makes television the most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history because of its capacity to induce the hypnotic state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people don't look at TV as a weapon. That's because it's become a member of the family,
right.
In many households. And people look to it for as the major source of information on news and for their entertainment. And that makes it even more dangerous because if you look at your national news broadcasts, they're all giving us the same stories, very often even in the same order. It doesn't matter what network news broadcast you're watching, we're getting the same information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an interesting point about news broadcasting is that the newscaster, doesn't matter where they're from, if it can be black, white, Hispanic, Oriental, they have a particular way of speaking and delivering the news.
Right.
That pattern of speaking is similar to the pattern speech of a hypnotist.
Really? I didn't know
yes.
that. Now, that's news to me. I mean, I've heard a lot of different things about the technologies that are being used, but you're talking about actual speech patterns.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it is the speech pattern and the format of the news broadcast that people have been programmed and conditioned to accept that as being true, factual information.
Mm-hmm.
The television broadcaster looks directly into the camera and into the eyes of the viewer, another
right.
hypnotic technique.
Okay.
The and also the broadcaster can comment, silently comment on the news by expression, intonation.
I've seen that. Now, I agree with you. I've seen that. That's a very powerful, that's equally a very powerful thing when they're reporting on a piece of news, the way they posture themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
You get a lot of things going on here. And also, you have the news footage, the so-called news footage that they're showing us.
Right.
I worked as an editor for about close to 13 years. I worked in the film industry.
Mm-hmm.
Working as an editor, it was very easy to see how simple it is to change the meaning of an event or change the meaning of what someone says through editing.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Oh, not only is it powerful, it is manipulating reality. That's why we live in a virtual reality for that very reason, because our reality has been created by mass media,
mm-hmm.
and it is altered by the media.
Stephen, let me ask you this. Do you know, are you familiar with Wilson Brian Key?
Oh, yes.
I interviewed him extensively a couple of years ago. And, you know, he did several books years ago, and a lot of people try to discredit his work. But, you know, I looked at his work. He did Media Sexploitation. That was the book that I found mm-hmm. most fascinating. Is it true that, in other words, the techniques that Key brings out in his books and his work, is that we have evolved way past the old days of the subliminal suggestion, you know, the text being inserted one frame in 34 frames or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He says we've gone way beyond that to the point now where they're using colors, and they're using shapes like backdrops and things like that. And they can convey a message that the subconscious mind can actually literally fill in the blanks. Is that true?
Yes, all this. The technology is very sophisticated. I've read his books. I've talked to Professor Keyes, and he is correct. And the reason why he received so much criticism when his books had come out was because it was revealing information
that
the powers that be didn't want the general public to be thinking about.
Yeah. Going on that track now, let me ask you this about the people that are pioneering or have pioneered this technology. I know we talked about Tavistock. Now, Tavistock, I believe, was incepted in 1938, and it was incepted by Rockefeller Foundation money. And what I'd like to know is what has been done? Where has it been done? Where has this technology been pioneered? I've heard various stories that the CIA was primarily the progenitor, if you will, of this technology and exploring the potentialities of it. Is that what you find as well?
Well, yes, all the intelligence agencies have been involved in this, not only in this country, but in other countries. Certainly, we are further ahead. Have done more work in this area.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing work in this area in Nazi Germany after the war.
Right.
The scientists were brought over to this country to continue with their work.
Okay.
The advertising agencies have done extensive research in this area that exceeds some of the work that has been done in the academic world.
Okay.
And is kept locked up.
Okay, we're going to take this break, Stephen. When we come back, we'll continue. When we come back, I want to explore this idea that not only are we looking at the utilization of this technology for economic gain by, you know, these large corporations that buy advertising, but I think also we ought to touch on the idea of political control. Okay?
Yes.
So when we come back, we'll get into that, all right?
Yes.
Stephen Jacobson is my guest. He has an audio series called Mind Control in America, and his website is www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. Check it out, and we will be right back after the break. 877-424-4111. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. We continue with this edition of A Closer Look. This discussion that we're having with Stephen Jacobson kind of harkens back to the old days of Outer Limits, where they'd start off, you know, with that little test pattern. They'd say, do not adjust your set. We control the horizontal. We control the vertical. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It is a reality. And Stephen Jacobson is joining me. He is the author of a documentary, audio documentary, called Mind Control in America. His web address is www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. Stephen, welcome back. And in the moments that we have to wrap for this hour, what I'd like to do is I'd like to explore this political control technology idea. In other words, how the media is being used to maintain the status quo, the political status quo. You know, one of the things that I believe is that we are living in a cryptocracy. I guess you could call, in some ways, the president's obsession with secrecy. John Dean, who's been a guest on my program, a Watergate fame, told me that the Bush administration is starting to look suspiciously a lot like the Nixon administration in its obsession with secrecy. And when you're talking about, you know, the idea of being able to manipulate information, what is the relevance of that in maintaining the political status quo? Is it viable?
Oh, it is key, because secret knowledge is the basis of all power.
Right.
And this is how a ruling class comprised of a relatively small number of people can control and manipulate the masses.
Mm-hmm. Now, along that line, this is the thing I want to get to is, what can we do? In other words, do we have to throw our TV sets out? Do we have to kill our TV, as they say, to break free of this? In other words, what is the key to understanding and maybe circumventing or disconnecting this propaganda?
Well, limiting exposure to the media will certainly help. But a lot of people are already programmed where that would be very difficult. And because it does plug into our nervous system, people will experience withdrawal symptoms. Literally, they'll experience physical withdrawal symptoms if they try to go cold turkey from the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Education is extremely important. That's why the Mind Control in America audio series, for that very reason, to explain and give examples of what's happening. So that I use the techniques that I talk about so that the listener has a reference point to recognize these techniques when they observe them being used and mm-hmm. thereby be able to pull away from it. But because these things operate on us, have a physiological basis for operating on us, even when you know, you can see yourself being pulled in.
Right.
So education is extremely important for that very reason, to understand what is happening. The key to programming by propagandists and advertisers is that they want to build into us a conditioned response where we respond to particular ideas automatically without thinking about it. So, in effect, we are programmed and conditioned to become our own worst enemy by activating this and building this mechanism into us.
Would it be fair to say that maybe a lot of psychological disturbances that manifest in depression, obsessive-compulsive behaviors, is it directly related to the saturation of this kind of propaganda
yes,
media?
Yes, because we are experiencing the effects of a scientifically induced nervous breakdown on a national level. And so we see eruptions of it from time to time when there are mass shootings or Columbine. You pick the incident that the national attention that has been focused on. Yes, most definitely there's a connection here.
Okay. We got about 40 seconds. Wrap up by giving information about your audio series. How much is it, and how do they get it?
Yes, Mind Control in America and Wake Up America, they are $15 each when ordered singly, $25 for the two tapes when ordered as a set. The web address is mindcontrolinamerica.com. For mail order customers, the company name is MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734. Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113. That's MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113. And the phone number here is area code 336-723-6535. 336-723-6535. And again, the website is mindcontrolinamerica.com.
Very good. Stephen, thank you. Good luck with your work.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll be in touch.
Yes.
Okay, take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.